This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To be fair, Rob, I'm still devastated. I mean, he was such a top bloke. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was a man mountain. You know what? Billy Joel sings about a song. Owning the good die young.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of My Old Man Said, and joining me, fitting the podcast in his busy schedule, Dan Rogers from the Villa Underground. How long you got? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
Go, quick, keep talking, quick.
All good?
All good in the hood. I mean, we are on the cusp of a Blues derby. What could possibly go wrong with Harry Redknapp involved? And
have you got your 50p ready?
Allegedly, I was not in that stand on that day. I'll tell you if with my aim, don't think so.
Yeah, I've actually got quite a good aim, but I'll be well behaved if anybody's listening from the West Midlands police. So what's been happening in the universe of Aston Villa? Well, we've had two Easter games within the space of 48 hours. We lost them both by the same score.
Hooray!
And I think the bottom line there is something we've been talking about. The performances aren't just good enough to beat these teams. Also, Codger got sent off. It looked like it was the end of his season and the end of any chance of getting 20 league goals. But Villa, good work on their part. They got the appeal and he's only missing the Blues derby.
Ooh.
And finally, in the main Villa news, Ross McCormack's doing something, I don't know, cysts, hospital. We know what's going on in the background, but you can't really say anything. But it's quite interesting. Oh, it's an Achilles ankle, and then it's next day it's cysts. And there's another reason, but we can't really mention that. So anyway, let's go back to those two games quickly.
Oh, do we have to? Can't we talk about something else?
Well, it's interesting. Well, after the Reading game, I mean, we've been saying it on this podcast, and I've personally been writing about it, is that Villa aren't just playing good enough to get promoted. And people can only remember this season winning 7 out of 8 games. Mm. And some of those games, I mean, we've already discussed this, who they were against, and the performances in those games were pretty much the same as when we were winless in 9. There wasn't that much difference.
No, well, this goes through the big switch next season, is we've got to be more, we've got to get out of, we've described it as third gear, isn't it? And when we have been in third gear, it's been for 45 minutes, hasn't it? We haven't ever stitched together. And I do buy a bit of this sort of, oh, on the beach mentality after Burton, blah, blah, blah. But isn't this a great opportunity to have a good run at the back end of the season? And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Villa approach Blues, say. Will that be an on-the-beach type approach? I don't see that. So, you know.
Yeah, take the gloves off.
Yeah, have a crack. Have a crack.
Just because I was spelling out some home truths on social media, you're getting the whole, the negative word used against you. But, again, it's the case of reality, and it's not just because they were bloody losing. We've been saying the same damn thing all the way through. I mean, still, we're in second gear. Fulham, I thought the sending off of Codger, I mean, we'll talk about that in a second, but I think that kind of focused Villa. They suddenly fired up a little bit, and I mean, Grealish's goal, I actually thought that might take us on a bit, and we might kind of hold out and, you know, hold out for that point. But I think Fulham hit us probably at the best time. Straight away, and that kind of dented any...
When they joint top scorers in the league or something like that, Fulham as well.
You could see why, actually.
Yeah, good movement. They were organised.
And they get behind you.
Yeah, I mean, go back to the... I mean, to take the really good singular positive moment out of that was the Grealish goal. That's the kind of thing we need to see more of, that, you know, that quality, that bit of edge. And, I mean, taking Grealish just as, you know, singling one person out, I suppose. We haven't seen nearly enough of that from him. And I think going back to what you were saying just a couple of minutes ago, there's nothing wrong with constructively criticising the Villa team. You know, that you can... All of our flaws over the last two games, just take the two games, have been there for it all to see. And that's not to say that we aren't making progress, because we are, but we are a fair way away from being a team that can confidently rock up at a Fulham, or let's start thinking back further, a Leeds, or, you know, earlier on in the season, other sides up, you know, Brighton, we didn't go there and do the business, for instance.
Yeah.
That's the difference, that we've, at no point this season have we been threatening to challenge. Yeah, we had a 7 or 8 game run, but, you know.
But some of those games could have gone either way, and, you know, we're talking about playing. We got lucky because some of the games we played there were against, there was Wigan thrown in there, there was Rotherham, Bristol City, all those teams started off in the bottom three when we played them.
I don't think either of us want, you know, I think this is where, I mean, we have different opinions on the Villa, but I think this is where we have a meeting of the minds, is what we don't want to do is to arrive into next season with any sort of delusion that we're, you know, ready to romp the league. You know, I don't feel like we're there yet. I think we've got some good players, but we've got some glaring holes in the squad as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm asking for is, and all I wanted in this, well, let's say since February, when we effectively ruled ourselves out of the playoff, was evidence that I could go into next season. I mean, be above and beyond whatever happens in pre-season, because pre-season really never tells you anything. You can slam teams 3 or 4 nil in every game, or you could lose every game. Really doesn't really, as time has shown, doesn't affect anything. But there hasn't been any evidence. I mean, people think when you say, oh, we need to play better and perform better, that people keep saying, you know, we're not going to play like Barcelona, and it's better to win ugly than lose playing like Barcelona. Nobody's talking about playing like Barcelona. I mean, we're almost spending the money that Barcelona spend.
We spend more.
I mean, we certainly spent more than Real Madrid in the summer, but we're not talking about playing like Barcelona.
No.
People like to put words in your mouth just to make their argument, or you know, try to beat you in an argument. But the essential thing is, you just want Villa to play the basics. You know, when a player's in and there's a free Villa player on the edge of the 6-yard box, cut it back to him rather than just blaze it over the bar into row Z, which has been happening quite a lot, and hit and hope crosses as well.
Hit and hope crosses, and we've got let's look at Amavi, that we seem to be, we're trying to rehabilitate him, aren't we? And he had that period in the left midfield, winger, sort of tucked in left midfield, and now he's found himself back at left back again, which is probably a disaster for him, because he was, you know, he's been badly found out there this season. But there's a great example of someone who, the player who hasn't developed for whatever reason, be it injury, be it being played out of position, whatever. And there's one of the glaring holes. And what we've got to hope is, I suppose, that that's the type of position we're going to be strengthening in the summer. But it would be deluded to say here and now, with a team, we're the obvious candidates. We're massively improved.
Well, no, I mean, we're buying all these players. It all looks great, like when we're dropping 12 million here, 15 million here. But when we bought McCormack, when we bought Hogan, it's like, well, where are they going to play? I don't think they're actually bought with any strategy in terms of, oh yeah, that's, you know, we're going to play this system with Hogan. They just bought him because he was available, because he didn't go to West Ham, it seems.
Let's talk a little bit about Hogan, because it's interesting. I've sort of sat out of the debate, and there is already a debate simmering dangerously within social media about whether he's got a turn of pace and whatnot. I actually think he looks, in terms of movement and runs, an incredibly clever player. That's not our problem. I think we've bought a good player, but exactly
but
as
he's
you
playing
say,
with idiots.
He's playing with absolute numpties at times. And there was a couple of occasions at Fulham, the through ball was there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And the guy on the ball, the one that sticks in my mind, forgive me, it may have been Gardner, whoever it was. It might have been Jednak, actually, thinking about it. They didn't even attempt to make the pass. And that's Hogan's trick, isn't it? He's on the shoulder of the last man, and he wants to get in on the goalkeeper. I can't recall us putting him in yet.
No, I mean, I must admit, it was a double-edged sword with the whole Codger appeal being won. Because I thought the silver lining of that was it actually forced Bruce to play with Hogan and actually gave Hogan a three-game chance of being the main man and seeing what he could do. And, you know, you play him up front, maybe you put Grealish in the hole, and if Green's fit, you've got him on the left flank and Adoma on the right, and then Hourihane running forward to join up, linking up. Maybe Amavi on the left can start playing a bit more football rather than just getting to the edge of the 18. And, you know, there's suddenly more potential for link up, and you know, with Grealish in that hole, finding these runs of Hogan.
It's classic Villa, isn't it, that we get a player who's all the statistics, all, you know, because it wasn't just goals, it was assists and link up play with Hogan that he comes in for, you know, a lot of credit.
Same
for
as McCormack, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, glaringly, Hourihane, another one who was just, you know,
he's still number one in the assists, but obviously most of them for Barnsley.
But isn't it classic Villa? I mean, taking Hourihane for a few minutes. I mean, he's been slightly out of the squad a couple of weeks. Well, not out of the squad, but out of the starting 11 for a couple of weeks. We get these players and we don't then deploy them as they were deployed by the team we bought them off. That's a puzzle, and I think it's a sign of how unbalanced our squad remains.
Is it just not being played? Because
I don't know.
On paper, I think it's as good as anything in the league. I mean, how much have we spent, for God's sake?
Spending and quality can be different points, as we've experienced not just this season at Villa, but over many years. I don't think we've got the 11 yet, and I'm not convinced that Bruce knows of the squad he's got what the best 11 is. We haven't worked out how to use the strikers that we've got. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've got a plan A, plan B midfield. You take Jednak out of the equation, for instance, we look incredibly vulnerable. You put him in, and one of our midfielders is quite anchored to the, you know, he's the anchored man, isn't he? What I'm saying is that I'm not sure what our formation is half the time as well, and I wonder whether that affects our tactics.
Well, I mean, I think essentially I think the first thought is defend. So, I mean, that's
seems
quite
to be
apparent.
Our default view. Yeah.
But from that point of view, we really haven't got the personnel to be great on the counter. We don't have that many weapons going forward in terms of fast, you know, counter attack. We haven't even got the wingers.
No.
And that's the worry. If that's the way Bruce wants to play, then he's going to have to focus buying at least three players who can allow him to counter with a bit of ferocity and threat, really. Mm. We mentioned the latest in the McCormack saga. Do you really expect him to feature? Because he's not going to be easy to offload. And, you know, if what we know about his, let's say, personal issues, that doesn't look like a summer's going to sort it out. Well, I mean, there's a few months, so you never know. But it's not a... Do you think he's a lost cause? I mean, I think Hogan essentially replaces him anyway, doesn't he not?
Well, I think the fact that we went out and bought like we did, I think, yeah. Can he be rehabilitated? Yes. Do I imagine it can happen here and now? Well, looking at the chronology from when he joined the club to now and the recent pictures of him and the hasty loan out to Nottingham Forest and then the fact that he hasn't even been there for 3 weeks, something doesn't sit very well with me there, and definitely repeating myself. It's classic Villa that we take a bolted-on 20-goal-a-season striker and he has a breakdown.
Is that your new catchphrase? It's classic Villa.
This is classic Villa.
That should be our T-shirt, actually, if we do
a podcast
T-shirt.
McCormack could go on the list, couldn't he? We've got the old Balaban, Collymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And co.
Right, before we go on to the Blues.
Okay.
Which will, I mean, there's a lot to talk about that in terms of what's happened, especially from their point of view. I've got three questions for you, and this kind of comes from, I don't know, I think the Birmingham Mail is trying to still blow the trumpet for Bruce, and I don't know if it's because Aston Villa are their biggest advertiser, but that article on Di Matteo, where they worked out where Villa would be this season based on Di Matteo's 11 games in charge. Mm-hmm. Which, A, the science of that is complete nonsensical and means nothing. I mean, for example, if you take Steve Bruce's first 11 games of 2017, it's identical to Di Matteo. And only because Bruce won the last three of them. I mean, before that, he was... If Di Matteo got sacked for that 10 points in 11 games, then Bruce should be out on his earlobe as well. So it made no sense whatsoever. So I looked into Aston Villa under Steve Bruce... And looked at the league table. So the first question is, where are Aston Villa in the league table that's only calculated since Steve Bruce has been in charge?
I reckon we're probably lower to middle table.
I want a figure.
A figure, okay. 14th.
Fucking hell, you're negative.
I mean, well, are we second? I don't know.
Well, the scenario is when you mention Villa this season, it's like, if it wasn't for all those draws under Di Matteo, we would have been higher. But the reason, but you look at, I mean, I've just mentioned the 11 games of Di Matteo, two losses, I think, all those draws, which are apparently the downfall of this season, but in Bruce's first 11 games of 2017, seven losses. So what about all those losses under
Tell
Bruce?
Tell me where we are in the league.
So where we are in the league under Bruce alone is 11th.
Oh, damn it, I was being negative.
You were. I thought you were going to pitch up like 7th, 8th.
No.
But 11th is not good.
That's about where we are now, is it? Oh, I think...
Yeah, we're 12th at the moment. Bearing in mind, when he took over, I mean, everything he said was about still getting in the playoffs. And when he took over the Blues, they were 15th and he managed to get them in the playoffs as well.
Oh, you and your facts.
I come loaded.
I like just to be, you know, in my veil of delusion that this will get better.
Second question. Unless you got anything to say about the fact that we're 11th under Bruce, which is a surprise to me because I thought... Yeah, maybe those 11 games.
Run of wins. Yeah.
Yeah, but then that kind of run of wins, and he had a good start as well. Mm. Kind of neutralised that. I mean, January the 1st, we were 6 points off the playoffs, so you know, we were in there. There was no real excuses.
I was confident after that Burton Boxing Day win that we managed to get.
We were definitely on the right track. It's just that they mismanaged January, which we've already discussed. Right, second question. This mainly addressing all those people who suddenly are like, we were never going to get promoted this season. It was always going to be next. So where on average do the bottom club of the Premier League that gets relegated finish the next season in the Championship? On average, since the Premier League has been formed, the bottom team getting relegated, where do they finish on average?
Oh, God. Right, so if we're
good questions.
No, I need to be positive. 13th. Come on, release me from my misery.
Well, on average, 35% of teams that finish bottom in the Premier League bounce straight back up. So let's say a third.
Oh, God.
So the average place is actually 9th. Is where they finish. So we're below average. you know, that average has been dragged down because there's like teams that crash and burn. Yeah. I think Wolves crashed and burn, Portsmouth crashed and burn, and, you know, did a double drop.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. Okay.
But now I've got the worrying question. This is the one that, that puts the... This is the one that the storm clouds gather over Villa Park. Well, maybe I've just given you too much of a clue there.
Oh, no.
So a lot of people saying, we were never going to get promoted. It's always going to take kind of two seasons, blah, blah, blah. Right, third question. How many teams in Championship history have got promoted within 3 years having failed to bounce right back after finishing bottom in the Premier League.
Now, I'm going to guess, because you've asked the question, it's not a high percentage. I'm going to... 25%?
So we're talking about the bottom team getting relegated and getting promoted within 3 years.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Sorry, after not bouncing straight back.
It's significantly less than 25%, that is what you
said. Well, the answer is just one. We're doomed.
We're doomed, people.
We're doomed, Ross. That was actually Sunderland. They got relegated 2002/2003 season, yeah. Disappeared, and then went back up 2004-2005. I think they got relegated the season after on 15 points,
and then
went up and won the championship the season after. Now, funny enough, I mentioned that fact, I think on social media, that it is possible to get relegated after a super poor season in the Premier League. Because Sunderland, at that time on 15 points, that was a record.
They were the
Derby.
Example, weren't they? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, before Derby came along, and somebody said to me, but we've got a new owner, we've got a new manager. Well, hello, but Sunderland actually started that season without a manager, and there was a takeover in the summer, Niall Quinn's... mob took over, and Niall Quinn actually started the season as the manager before Keane came in.
I was about to say, and they won it with Roy Keane. So
and they won it with Roy Keane.
Jesus.
So I think they were and they didn't buy any. I think Dwight York they bought for a couple of million off Sydney, but most of their signings were around the 1 million mark, and then a load of frees in there as well. So they weren't burning 15 mil, 12 mil on strikers that suddenly disappeared without a trace. So you can see there, it is possible, and you look at how we've done it in the big kind of Galacticus of the championship buys, and, it may have impressed us in the summer, but it seems to not have worked. Anyway, on to the Blues.
Is that the end of the question?
That's the end of the... the depressive stats questions. But they're quite interesting, actually. I mean, especially that if you don't bounce right back, you're essentially stuck in quicksand.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Anyway, talking of stuck in quicksand and looking like quicksand, Harry Redknapp's back in town.
I'm gutted, Zola. Sorry, resigned. I was going to say sacked, but he was... Yeah,
well, I think that... I mean, the game now... I think before I would have taken Villa to win that, but with Codger missing, the only way Villa can score a goal, unless Chester goes up for a corner, and now with the Emperor... of their downfall, Zola out the way. You know, people talk about new manager of a bounce, but Harry Redknapp, been out of the game for 2 years, playing a bit of golf, watched a few games on TV, didn't have a clue with the Birmingham team, probably didn't even know who played for them before turning up at St Andrews the other day.
All of that's got to be in our favour, hasn't it? And I think the other thing about the Blues is it wasn't all Zola's fault. They're not a very good football team.
I think Rowlett had them punching above their weight initially when they're in the playoff spots, but I don't think many of their fans expected to stay there from, what I've been listening to.
No, that seems to be the mantra, doesn't it? I think Redknapp is a desperate keep-you-up appointment. And it may well work. I think that they've probably got enough points anyway, to be honest. Just. But
yeah, I mean, he said they need a win.
Yeah, maybe.
Cue Sunday.
I can't see.
I mean, they've got as good chance of winning in that kind of game as any of their remaining fixtures, to be honest, because it's Derby and they, you know all the cliches associated with that. But Blues fans, on the whole, well, the ones I've spoken to or seen on social media seem to be content with that because, I mean, you can't get worse than Zola, and B, who else do you get with three games to go? It's better than
Remy Gard still. Available. He's been turning down jobs a little. So he says, anyway.
Yeah, maybe Sherwood, while he's serving, you know, one of these bands he seems to get at Swindon, he could probably do it part-time on the sly.
Oh, he'd be unbearable, wouldn't he, Sherwood?
But no, I mean, I think that's as good as it gets for them, really, with three games to go. It's essentially what Sherwood did when he came to Villa. Yeah. It's just add a bit of adrenaline and...
we'll have them G'd up with all of his...
Pump them up.
All of his, I don't even know how to describe it. His, all I remember thinking at the time of the appointment was Harry Redknapp and Blues. Is there a partnership more suited to one another than, for legal reasons, I can't continue speaking probably, but.
Well,
you know what I mean.
In the context of a Villa Blues derby, it's, I mean, you want a bit of pantomime, so it's almost perfect, isn't it?
He's got a great mask.
But no, I mean, I think it adds to the occasion. And I mean, come on, we got bugger all to play for. And
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm trying to think of a better manager as a pantomime villain they could have got for us, really. I don't know, Joey Barton suddenly became player manager or something.
But Robbie Savage.
That, yeah, sorry, Robbie Savage, probably number one, Redknapp number two in that kind of stakes. So what kind of game are you expecting? Are you expecting Bruce to go all out, or do you think it will be a both teams grinding it out?
Yeah, this would be a grinded out one. I think this could be quite cagey because for all of the maybe the pre-match derby bravado that we get, Blues can't afford to come and get turned over because they do need to put, you know, if they're genuinely looking for that win, it's got to come somewhere.
And, yeah,
you know, like you say, no better place than Villa Park, I imagine, from their point of view.
Well, that would pretty much secure their position and give them a real jolt of confidence.
Yeah.
I think if we lost against them, where do you think that puts Bruce with the fans? I think that would turn. Certainly, you'd have a few sitting on the fence at the moment jump off it.
I think we'd be really disappointed in the sense of how poor Birmingham are. And I know derby matches can throw up weird and freak results and performances, but I was looking at running my eye down the Blues team for the game that Zola got sacked from. I didn't recognise and I was Googling.
I have that problem when I look down the Villa team sheet.
Hepburn who?
Who? Fink?
I preferred it when you called him Elfink. The early part of the season.
We're joking, listeners. If you have just tuned in and you've never heard us before, and you don't know, like, we do take the piss sometimes. But in respect of Codger leaving the situation, I think I've alluded to it earlier on. Grealish missed the last game, obviously through his suspension. So this is one he would potentially be there to somebody to kick and get sent off.
Mm-hmm. The bait,
or B, put on a bit of show, redeem himself, become a homegrown hero against the Blues. I mean, that's what these games are for, essentially. So,
well, Gabby's carved an entire career out of the friggin' Birmingham derby. Jesus,
that's what I was kind of hinting at. So, I mean, if he can do it, then surely Grealish can. And I personally would have him in that hole behind. Maybe it's a bit too expensive for Bruce, but to have him behind Hogan, and let's do a bit of link-up play. And if Green's fit, I don't know if he is, but either him and Marvie, because Marvie does link up with Grealish of all players, probably the best.
It's all about
approach.
There is
a bit of hope there. But just go for him. If you get that crowd going, you've got the crowd willing it on, and suddenly it's a bit of an easier game than you first anticipated. It's there for winning, put it that way.
I couldn't agree.
Not grinding.
No, and I told you about this. The idea of Bruce grinding on anything or anyone is frankly repulsive, and it's something that you need to park.
Bruce grinding on Redknapp. Now there's a thought.
I think that's where we end.
I might do a little poll on the Twitter address if you want to follow the Twitter address just for the show. just for the podcast listening aficionados, it's at Aston Villa Pod, P-O-D, on the end of Aston Villa. And I might put a poll up to see how long you would like these podcasts, like, I don't know, 0 to 30 minutes, 30 to an hour, an hour beyond. I don't like long ones. I don't like long ones because they take ages to edit. But some people like, you know, just long listens because they're walking the dog for an hour or whatever. But, I mean, that's their problem. They can listen to another podcast on top. So the idea is that maybe we'll do like two shows a week, but have them on specific topics, you know, shorter podcasts. But anyway, we'll get your feedback on that. And of course, if you can, to support the show, and it'd be great to get to 100 patrons if you want this bloody thing to continue into the new season, go to myomanset.com and click on the patrons option on the menu. If you're on a mobile device, go to the menu button on the left, those three little stripe squares, and it will pop up there. Anything else to add?
I'm still stuck with the image of Steve Bruce. Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, I met West Midlands police a couple of weeks ago to...
Why are they closing the entire world around the ground before the
to game? Discuss the closing of the entire world around Villa Park. And, I mean, we, you know, looked at a lot of maps and, I mean, there's also...
Maps
and plans. And I mean, I know all the times of when the Blues trains are coming in and the coaches and everything. So if we have any saboteurs out there before Theresa May crushes you all, according to the Daily Mail, get in touch, and I'm sure I'll be able to sell that information to you for a very high price. Allegedly not. But there is a bit of overkill, but also we live in dangerous times. Dangerous times where people are driving cars into crowds, so certain part of the police planning is not necessarily just to stop those reprobates from the other part of Birmingham coming into town. It's also to stop the, you know, potential of anything that's happened, obviously, in Stockholm, London, Berlin, Nice, happening in B6. But of course, you know, terror is used to leverage measures. But I think in this sense, the way that, you know, Villa Park is, I was going to say designed, but it's not, you know, let's say it is. It's not that you can have like when I went to the Olympiastad, there's a outer perimeter where you have your pat down and you show your ticket before you get into the actual ground. And that just doesn't happen in Villa because, you know, obviously it's very tight once you're in.
So the infrastructure doesn't allow for that outer perimeter, does it?
No, but if you're going by train, I would suggest go via Aston just to save the ball ache of going via Witten, because you're going to have to show tickets, and I think only lower north will be allowed in a certain entrance from the Witten Way, and other people will be asked to walk a long way round. Just get there early as well, so you're not, well, I'd say get there early, it's the game's bloody 12
what
o'clock.
What time do you propose I set off now?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Do I go for one of these 8 a.m. breakfast? It just takes me back to when I was living in Sydney and having a beer with my bacon and eggs, trying to watch a bloody Premier League game.
I did notice the not endorsed, not sponsoring Aston Tavern advertising a breakfast from 8 a.m. So
yeah, I think they are all open at 8, actually.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I'll probably rock up at, I don't know, 10 minutes to 12. Having suggested everybody gets there earlier. Anyway, until the Blues game. And after the Blues game, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.